Well, hey, what's going on, my friend? Welcome back to another episode of the Mindshift Podcast. Today's episode is, of course, Mindshift Monday. And before we get into today's show, I want to tell you, I really appreciate you taking time to listen to this episode, to tune into our show every single week, to provide your feedback, and to just continue to show your love and support. So I just want to say thank you right out of the gate. If you enjoyed today's episode, hit the follow, hit the subscribe button. Do me a favor and let a friend know, because today's topic, if you're an entrepreneur, you know an entrepreneur, as we begin to head towards what they say could be potentially a recession, I want to talk about a key component of surviving and thriving through what could be a recessionary time. And by the way, whether this is a recession, whether we're not going to have a recession, it doesn't matter. The topic is relevant. I want to bring it to the forefront of your mind because we are talking about it in my businesses, and I know it's going to have some value for you. If this is your first time here, my name is Daryl Evans. I am the host of the Mindshift Podcast, and today's topic is on maximizing customer lifetime value. You know, recently I was looking over some values and, if you will, revenues from customers generated in our business, and I came across one of our clients who has now been with us and has paid us now $54,000 on an average monthly contract of about $1,100. There was a time when he was running at about a $2,000 marketing budget with us, and then even down to $750 as he went through fluctuations in his business. I looked at another client of ours that was at $143,750. And they've been with us now since 2012. And yet one other client that has paid our firm $354,000 since 2011. Why do I bring that up? Well, one of the things I want you to point out is that none of these clients are paying us $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $50,000 a month. You could probably figure that out with the math. What we are doing is we have figured out a mechanism over the years, and this started for me about 20 years ago, and that is, how do we actually take care of customers once they've trusted us with their business? I'll take you back to 1997, and that's a long time ago. Some of you listening to this may not even have been born by that time, but trust me when I say this, that there was some training that I received, and it was really important, and it was pivotal in my journey as an entrepreneur. At that time, I was in a sales position where I had to generate my own business. So as far as I'm concerned, even though the company name was on the check, if I didn't sell, I didn't eat. That's just the way it worked. And I remember one of my mentors back then, he really talked about taking on clients and providing them such a level of service that they would never, ever think of leaving you. And I'll never forget that sort of wise advice. And then, of course, from then, I had to begin thinking about, how do you make that actually happen? So I want to jump into four big ideas and then share an example, an analogy that I hope will stick with you, that also was taught to me by a business coach of mine, again, roughly 20 years ago. So let's, number one, what does it take to maximize customer lifetime value? First of all, let's define that. Maximizing customer lifetime value can show up in a number of different ways. That's either in revenue that they have paid you over a long period of time. That could also show up as referrals to other customers who then become your client, or prospective customers who become your client. And that can also be attributed to that one client who you worked with and served at a high level. So there's a referral basis of revenue. That's another way to look at maximizing lifetime value. And then the other side of it is looking at how often they may buy from you or buy different things from you, cross-selling or upselling. And that's another kind of way of looking at it. But we all know, if we're in business, there's only three ways to really grow a business, right? Acquire new customers, get those customers who are already your customers to buy again, right? Buy again or buy more from you. And then the third one is to get them to stay for a long time or buy on a recurring basis. And so if you're in a recurring business model, I'm really speaking to you, but I first learned this in a non-recurring business model, which means when I was in the lending industry, in the financial services industry, in the real estate industry, the recurring business model wasn't like software as a service where you're buying every month. It wasn't like our digital marketing agency where clients buy from us every month, as long as we're delivering great service. So point number one is, it always starts with delivering great results, delivering wow results, not just doing what they expect you to do. And I know this seems a little cliche and it's like, oh, Daryl, that's a simple one, right? We're supposed to deliver great results. But I've got to tell you, in my 20 to 30 years of not just being in business, but also being a consumer, I can't tell you how many times I've been let down by not even getting what I was supposed to get from the product or the service. For my dollars exchanged, I expect to at least get what I expected. That's not going to help you maximize lifetime value. When we're talking about delivering great results, it's how can you deliver a wow type experience? How can you go above and beyond without, you know, crushing your profit margins? How can you leave a mark on that customer? That's what I want you to think about in your business. What are you doing today? And if we do hit tough times, if we do hit a tough time where people are pulling back on expenses, and I mean, if you look around the news today, we're already starting to see layoffs and hiring freezes across corporate America. If you're on this show, I know you're a smaller business, small to mid-sized company, you're in my world. We've got to be careful because that is going to affect us. We've got to make sure we're delivering great customer results. Number two, we got to make them feel cared for. What does that mean, right? You know, I think of the difference between a commodity-related type of product or service and a luxury-related type of product or service. You know, when I stay in nice hotels or travel and I go to the concierge desk, the minute I get there, what they do for me is they do the thinking for me. I literally just walk up, tell them what I like to do, and I let them go to work. I walk away and then they call me back with the entire agenda based on what we want to do, or they call us and tell us what the options are. That makes me feel cared for. Now, listen, when I say concierge level service, this doesn't mean you have to have a luxury business, right? Something as simple as greeting your customers when they walk in your establishment, something like checking in with them on their birthday, checking in with them around the holiday, and not having an agenda to sell them something else. Think about it in your business, but do your customers feel cared for, right? Do they believe that you're not just in it for the check or the delivery of the service? You know, I think about my barber when I go get my beard trimmed up and we have a genuine conversation. Obviously, it's a barbershop. You know how that goes. But my point is what I said to him one day was, I said, it's interesting that when he was out of work for a couple of weeks dealing with a family issue, I didn't choose to go to another barber. I just let my beard kind of grow. And I waited until he got back. Now, the service is only $30. Why did I wait for him to come back to work when I could have went to any of the other 12 barbers in the shop? It was because I feel cared for by my man. He takes care of me, right? So I hope that lands with you. Thinking about it in your business, what can you do to make your customers feel cared for? This third one here, I shouldn't even have to say, but boy, let me tell you, if you want to ruin a customer relationship fast, break this rule. And that is you must maintain high trust. And I can tell you that in my, I don't know, 20 something years now in sales, I think about what was the deciding factor for why someone came to work with me and maybe why someone didn't work with me. And I think simply comes down to two words, and it's high trust. I have a CRM, and for those of you who know me, we use the HubSpot platform, and we're a HubSpot partner at our agency, and I recommend HubSpot to everybody. One of the easiest tools you can ever use, and I've been a fan of CRM since 1997. When you're growing and you're talking to people, you're meeting a lot of people, you got to figure out how to put them in the right place. This is not a conversation around CRM, but I will say this. When I close a deal, any type of deal I close, I don't care what kind of deal it is, and I don't care how long ago it was, it doesn't matter what the industry. Those CRM tools usually ask you, what's the reason that you won the deal? Or if you lost the deal, what's the reason you lost the deal? And I can tell you that probably in the high 90% or at least in the 90% range that I've almost always indicated high trust. It wasn't because I was the cheapest. It wasn't because I was the fastest. It wasn't because I was the most convenient. It wasn't because I was the smartest. I mean, you could maybe say that some of those things were maybe features of things that we may have been offering, but ultimately people do business with people they trust, okay? So are you doing and looking at your business today, if we do hit tough times, are you doing what you can to maintain trust? Are you doing things today where you're breaking down trust? Think about a scenario like, I hate to pick on them, but Lord knows I don't want to do this, but I just don't like flying American Airlines. And American Airlines, United States, for whatever reason, if you're listening, I just don't know why. It just doesn't seem like you care. And they continually violate and break my trust. What do I mean by that? The ticket says we're supposed to leave at 11 and get to our destination at 3. Inevitably, consistently, for whatever reason, and it doesn't mean no other airline has a problem here and there, I get it, but consistently, I'm late. Consistently, there's delays. Consistently, there's all of these things. And the interesting part is they just don't seem to care. For example, if I have a flight on Southwest and it's late, they actually apologize. They could be 2 minutes late leaving and they're apologizing profusely because they deem it a privilege to have you on the plane. And it seems like American, this is just my opinion. I'm not, you know, not hating. I'm just telling you what my experience has been. It has been like, whatever, we're just late. You deal with it, right? So what are you doing in your business to maintain high trust? Let me bring this last one home. This is funny because I'm actually going to use an airplane story. And that is communicate regularly and consistently with your customers, even if things aren't going well in your relationship or in the business process that you're working in. I think of two things I want to share with you. I remember sometime during the pandemic, someone came to me and said to me, "Hey, Daryl, I run an e-commerce store and I was shipping shoes from China and I've got orders and I can't get the product from China. What should I do?" And I said, "Well, tell me this. What was the time expectation that you were supposed to deliver the product in?" And they told me what the time was. And I says, "What is your percentage of belief in certainty that you're going to get it there?" She said, "I'm definitely not going to get it there by that time." And I said, "Well, what have you told them up to this point?" And she said something vague like, "Well, it's delayed. It's out of my hands, blah, 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 blah." And I said, no. That's the wrong thing to say. You don't want to say it's out of your hands. You don't want to say you don't know when it's going to get here. Even though that is true, the best thing you can do, and here's the distinction, going back to high trust, making them feel cared for, trying to deliver great results. This last one sort of ties it all together. In this particular example, she left the customers uncertain, concerned, and possibly even to where they could be frustrated or even angry. And if you've been around any of my teaching, you'll know that I try to avoid the 7 emotions that will kill customer relationships and kill your business. If you keep your customers out of those 7, I'll come back to those and teach those in another episode. But I said to her this, here's what I want you to say to them. I said, send them an email and tell them exactly what you told me. The product is coming from China. I can't get a hold of a supplier. I don't know when it's going to get here. Here's your options. Number one, you could request a refund. And let me tell you, when she looked me in the eye, you could be like, "What? I don't want to give them a refund." Well, I'm like, listen, you're just being transparent. The situation's out of your control. You're just giving them an option. There may be, I don't know how many customers, I think it was 36 customers. I said, one or two may ask you for a refund. No big deal. But then tell them option two is, I will keep you posted as I get more details. As I know, obviously everyone was going through the pandemic and the supply chain issues and the things, just communicate with them frequently about the status. And I learned that a lot of years ago when I was in the mortgage industry and we processed home loans. And there were times when the home loan was supposed to close by a certain day. And I mean, we could not always get the loans closed on time for a variety of reasons. Our job was to communicate regularly and consistently so that we could remove the concern, worry, doubt, and frustration that they could have. Okay? You guys, I just want to share with you these because right now it's important, whether we're heading to a recession or not, that is deliver great results, that is to make your clients feel cared for, maintain high trust, and communicate, even over-communicate, because that'll help to feed those first three. This has been Brief Talk on maximizing customer lifetime value. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time on another Mindshift Monday. Take care.